Welcome to today's episode of Barbecue Sauce. As always, I am your host, Caleb Smith. Today we'll be covering all the latest sports news so you do not miss out. First, we're going to kick it off with the NFL news. NFL schedule coming out just a couple days ago. I mean, that was big too. That got to get your mind off what is happening right now. So, here's my breakdown of the NFL schedule. I'll give you my toughest and easiest schedule for the year. So my toughest schedule is going to the New York Jets. The toughest schedule, I believe, is going to the New York Jets, because if you don't mind pulling it up, you can take a look with me. So as you can see, if you are pulling it up right now, it's okay if you don't, but so as you can see in their 2020-21 schedule, obviously they have one of the most what-if divisions this year. Like, we don't know what's going to happen, especially with Brady leaving. But this AFC East is stacked more than ever. So they got to play the Bills in Orchard Week 1. That's going to be a tough one. But then, just look what the divisions they have to play. Obviously got to play that loaded 49ers division with the Seahawks. Cardinals maybe even a playoff potential team. And that's going to be big for the Jets. But then if you look and see two road games in a row. I mean, that's common, but they're against the Seahawks and the Rams. Obviously those two will be big games, especially if this team wants to win the AFC East. So if this team wants to win the AFC East, they gotta win at least 10 games. But depending on how tough their schedule is, it doesn't look like it'll happen this year. And I just don't see it happening for the Jets this year, especially with this tough schedule. And this one, I mean, I can see the Jets this year going 6-10. The wins that they might get this year are against the Colts, Broncos, Dolphins twice, the Raiders, maybe the Rams, Browns, and then maybe it'll take one from the Patriots. But that's gonna be all the wins I think they get, so I think the Bills are just too talented, and Miami Dolphins obviously adding on some big key players to their squad. So the Jets do have a tough schedule. People may not think that they do, because people think that they're a bad team. But this Jets team does have a really tough schedule. Then my easiest schedule for the year goes to the Green Bay Packers. Yeah, some might not say that this one is very easy, especially with the Saints and Buccaneers. And then they have the Vikings. But look, if you would follow along, then you would see this, but I'll explain it to you now. So, look, so as you can see, the Packers, I mean, two winnable games to start off. One of them against the Lions, who I think they're going to win 4 games this year. But then they got two. If you look at the beginning of the schedule, I mean, they do have some hard games, but then it's just going to get a lot easier after they go play that 49ers squad, and then it just gets all easier from there. So the Packers, a week one, going up against Vikings in Minnesota. I mean, the Packers have not won a lot in Minnesota at all. But I think the Packers are just a very talented team this year, so they'll get that done. Then they got the Lions, they'll beat them. Then they got the Saints. I don't think they're going to pull that one off. Then you got the Falcons win, Buccaneers win, Texans win, Vikings. Now, another interesting thing is that they play the Vikings twice early on in the season, which is why one of the reasons why I think this is a very easy schedule, so they don't have to play the Vikings spread out. And then after that, they got the 49ers. So I think the Packers are going to lose 2 games in that tough game stretch, but then they get it very easy. And then the final games for the year are going to be against Jaguars, Packers, or Jaguars, Colts, Bears, Eagles, Lions, Panthers. Titans may be a tough one, though. And then they got the Bears. So after that, they get a bunch of easy games. They might lose. I think they might split one to the Bears. I'm not saying that because I'm a Bears fan. It's just that the past 2 years, it's been very close and intact with those two. But besides that, I got the Packers that are going 13-3 on the year. One of the top teams in the NFL again. I think they're going to get on the divisional round though this year, but that's just my opinion. So, Green Bay Packers, toughest schedule, or Green Bay Packers easiest, Jets toughest. But now on to some more football news. Jadeveon Clowney. I mean, rumors say that he's going to Tennessee or even maybe Buffalo. I mean, Buffalo, I think he'd be pretty good of a scheme fit there, especially that talented team that they have out in Orchard Park. If the Bills do end up signing Jadeveon Clowney, that'll be a big move, especially with the AFC East being very tight. I think if they do sign Jadeveon Clowney, that their odds of winning the NFC East are going to go way up. I mean, everybody focuses on that defense mainly, but the Bills, I mean, if they get a good number 2 or 3 wide receiver, obviously with Cole Beasley and John Brown, but if they get a good number 3 receiver, this team could be crazy. Crazy good. And maybe even Super Bowl potential good. But right now, that's a big dream down the road. But right now, the Bills, in my opinion, have the AFC East title in hand. But do not sleep on that Patriots team. Maybe making a wild card position. Jarrett Stidham. Oh, well, I'm going off topic here, but Jadeveon Clowney with all the money he's asking for. Teams may not even want him, and he may end up in tragedy unless if he doesn't move that down. But look at Le'Veon Bell. He obviously signed with a team. And one of the things I do not like about Jadeveon Clowney holding out is it really doesn't make sense. But when Le'Veon Bell held out for the season, he obviously started to regress a lot more. With Le'Veon Bell, who you maybe want as your franchise starting running back. But, I mean, it would be a disappointment to Jadeveon Clowney if this happened to him. Obviously, Le'Veon Bell is still young. But, if he keeps this up, he won't have much of an NFL career, especially with the injuries. But Jadeveon Clowney is younger than Bell, though. But Clowney, I think, is the better player in this situation. But if he does decide to hold out maybe a season, and if he does not spend a lot of time on that football field training, I think you can see him start to regress a lot more. And that'll be big for the whatever team signs him. Right now, rumor has it, I think he might end up signing with the Titans, obviously losing Jarrell Casey to the Denver Broncos and trying to clear cap room. Maybe this is their plan to get Mr. Jadeveon Clowney, because we saw that he will not be signing back with Seattle. But then you can expect that to be a big move if the Titans or Bills do end up signing him. But who knows? He could sign to a team that really doesn't. He could sign to a team who we don't. Who just came out of the position to get him. But then, now our question I've been hearing and asking is Daniel Jones a franchise QB? I wanted to dig into this more, but I obviously could see that you can't answer this right now because, the Giants still don't have a very good offensive line. But drafting Andrew Thomas was big, but was that their correct move though? Did they want to get Jedrick Willis, Mekhi Becton, both very good players? But I mean, I'd rather get Jedrick Willis with that pick instead of Andrew Thomas. I think Willis is a better football player than Thomas. But that's only my opinion. But, I mean, it's still a piece of that offensive line, which the Giants should be thankful for, at least. But, I mean, going back on topic, Daniel Jones may be a franchise QB, but, I mean, he did have a pretty solid rookie season. I mean, obviously, exceeded my expectations especially with being the 6th overall pick in the draft. I mean, people thought maybe he was going to fall late in the first round or even early second round is what I saw, but Daniel Jones going over at the 6th pick, obviously, Giants fans looking back now, they were mad when the Dave Gettleman did decide to draft Daniel Jones as their franchise QB, but Daniel Jones, I think he's going to be a good franchise QB, obviously sitting under Super Bowl champion Eli Manning. I mean, that was big, too, having a good mentor in hand when he eventually took over. Still had Eli as the backup, who was big for the Daniel Jones. But then you have the Dallas Cowboys in that situation, if we're going to keep talking about the NFC. Dak Prescott. I mean, this could be big for the Giants, too, if Dak Prescott does decide, or if Dak Prescott does not decide, so he does not want to be a Cowboy anymore. And then you'll see that not Nick Foles, but Dak Prescott will be gone. So maybe this would be the Giants' time to shine in a couple of years, especially if Prescott will decide to leave. But I don't know. That could be a big move for the Giants, especially if Dak Prescott does leave. But who knows? It's all wide open in that division, I believe. Still, even though the Cowboys did decide to fire Jason Garrett, bring in Mike McCarthy, but I don't know. We'll see. And a team does not get talked about a lot in podcasts or any sports channel, the Washington Redskins. I mean, I think they're going to be one of the most underrated teams in a couple of years. I mean, obviously signing Ron Rivera as their head coach, I think that was one of the best moves in coaching this year. And with Dwayne Haskins, he did struggle in his rookie year, but he's only a rookie. Give him a couple of years, maybe even give him a good mentor this season. That'd be big for the Redskins. But I think Haskins and Jones are going to start being big rivals, and that should be a fun division to watch this year. And then you have the Carolina Panthers, who picked up Teddy Bridgewater. Obviously, I wanted my Chicago Bears to, especially I don't want Trubisky starting. But the Panthers, I think they're going to be a great team in the future. Obviously, Cam Newton, it was gone. He was worth lots of money. He's still not signed. And bringing in Matt Rhule from Baylor, I think that was one of the best moves. And then bringing in another head or the offensive coordinator from Baylor, that was a big move as well. So can Matt Rhule do what he did in Carolina than what he did to Baylor? Obviously, Baylor wasn't one of the most talked about FBS teams a couple seasons ago. Matt Rhule comes in, makes them one of the best teams in college football all season. And if Matt Rhule can carry that to the NFL, the Panthers fans are going to be happy with what's going to go on in Carolina. And one of the most underrated wide receivers, in my opinion, Robbie Anderson, obviously in Carolina too, with that loaded offense with DJ Moore, who's going to be a good, solid number one receiver. And then Christian McCaffrey, an MVP caliber running back. I think next year Christian McCaffrey will be a runner up for the MVP, but. And then you're going to have the Chicago Bears with their QB situation. Nick Foles or Mitch Trubisky? Mitch Trubisky or Nick Foles? That's the big thing going on with the Chicago Bears. Who's going to be the starter? In my opinion, I think Nick Foles will be. Obviously, he's a better football player, in my opinion. But just think of what's going on. Nick Foles, obviously, I saw somewhere got mailed the playbook. But Mitch Trubisky's been under that Matt Nagy offense for a while now. But don't think that Nick Foles is going to have no idea what to do, because Nick Foles was the backup when Matt Nagy was the offensive coordinator at Philadelphia. So Matt Nagy was obviously, I'd say that was a decent move for the Chicago Bears. I mean, I'd rather have him get Bridgewater, especially after what he did when he came in going 5-0. But with the Bears with the Bears situation with their whole team or their whole offense, I don't know at this point. So it probably doesn't really matter who they put in to start, but I think Nick Foles, they may get in maybe the seventh spot in the seventh seed in the wild card. But it may be a couple more years for the Bears to be able to be that type of team they were just a couple seasons ago. But with the Nick Foles and Mr. Trubisky, Nick Foles obviously went down with a collarbone injury week one, and I mean the Jaguars lost him, but I feel like one of the reasons for Nick Foles' struggles were, I think the Jaguars may have rushed him, and Nick Foles may have rushed himself. I mean, I saw when Nick Foles first got hurt, they said this is most likely going to be a season-ending career. But I can see Nick Foles wanting to be motivated to be able to come back and play. But if I were Nick Foles, I'd wait out this season. But I mean, he probably wants to get back to playing, and this would be a big opportunity for Foles. Obviously, getting a ton of money from that Jacksonville squad over there, but the Chicago Bears taking Nick Foles' contract, and this should be a fun QB competition between Trubisky and Foles. But will they start Trubisky with what Andy Reid brought in over there? So that should be interesting for the Bears this year. I think this is going to be a fun QB competition we're going to see between these two in training camp, but who knows? I mean, I hope Nick Foles is a starter. I don't want to see Trubisky be able to do what he did again this year. Hopefully Trubisky does improve, and hopefully the Bears do improve on their offense. But then we see with the Las Vegas Raiders. This was one of my things I wanted to express about, because they brought in Marcus Mariota in the offseason. I didn't talk about this in my last episode. But Marcus Mariota, will he be the starter? Will it be Derek Carr? If Derek Carr starts to regress and Mariota can improve what he did, I mean, Mariota's still a young QB, but injuries kind of affected him and obviously did not have a great start to the Tennessee Titans season this previous year. So will Marcus Mariota motivate Derek Carr to be better? I mean, it seems like the Raiders still have faith in Derek Carr to be their franchise QB, but he's proved many, many times that he's not. And did the Raiders bring him in because a light bulb finally clicked in their head that Derek Carr may not be the starting franchise QB they want for the future, and it may be Mariota? But for now, it's Derek Carr, and will Mariota be a good motivation for him to be able to start, or possibly will Mariota even take over for the Las Vegas Raiders? I mean, I think it was a good fit with John Gruden's offense, obviously trying to make that Raiders squad better. But there's a lot of pressure, especially with Oakland fans, or with Vegas fans, but I mean, that's off the point anyway, so. Now, one more NFL thing I want to talk about is the Buffalo Bills and the AFC East. I mean, this could be a big, big time for the Buffalo Bills to be able to shine, but Jared Stidham, I think he'll be able to go. It's going to come down to the wire with the Bills and Patriots, in my opinion, and the Dolphins sitting in that third spot, and the Jets are going to be last. But with the Patriots and Dolphins are going to go right at it with each other, and this is going to be interesting for the NFL, or for the AFC East, and this is going to be a very fun team to watch, the Buffalo Bills, especially with that. They made it to the wild card at 10-6, but I think they have talent to win 11 or even 12 games this year with that loaded defense, Tre'Davious White, Micah Hyde, and then Ed Oliver. Well, what if Ed Oliver does shine? That I think if Ed Oliver plays a great second year, that the Bills team is gonna be able to go to 11 or 12 wins this year. So now we're getting on to the MLB topics. Obviously, the New York Yankees being New York's main team, and with that loaded lineup that they already have with Garrett Cole, or with Aaron Judge, Brett Gardner, Aaron Hicks, Gary Sanchez, Miguel Andujar, obviously everybody on that team, Giancarlo Stanton. Everybody always looks at that batting, always looks at the hitting for the New York Yankees, but I tend to like their pitching. I mean, Gerrit Cole, obviously, an MVP-type pitcher. Luis Severino, he can stay healthy, he's good. But look at Domingo Germán. I mean, he in 2018 had a very rough season, obviously went from AAA to back up to the big leagues, then down to the minors, big leagues. But then this year they decided to give him a chance with Sonny Gray leaving. So they gave Germán a chance, and he led the MLB in wins this previous year. I mean, I think he only had maybe two or three losses. I gotta check, but Domingo Germán, I mean, one of baseball's youngest players. I mean, I think he's gonna be able to have, if he keeps this up, maybe a Hall of Fame career. But he's not looked at, if you're a Yankees, if you're even an MLB fan, he's not always looked at, especially with that Yankees loaded roster. So you can expect the Yankees pitching to be one of the best in the league this year. Then I want to go to the Washington Nationals. Losing Anthony Rendon was big, but bringing Earl Thomas to play first. I thought they were going to bring an outfielder. I mean, a couple of good outfielder free agents. But they decided to go with the first baseman, with obviously Ryan Zimmerman getting up there in age. And Earl Thomas was a big Brewers player, hit cleanup for them. And with that outfield that the Nationals already have, I mean, they still have Juan Soto out there, Victor Robles, Adam Eaton. Anthony Rendon leaving, though, manning that infield, playing third, that was big, too. But you can expect the Washington Nationals to be a playoff contending team this year. Maybe even a World Series contending team. Then we have the Philadelphia Phillies going. I mean, obviously they have Bryce Harper. He's their main focus. But I want to focus more on bringing Didi Gregorius. Obviously a very good shortstop. And did very well for the Yankees, even though he was hurt for some of the year, but I think he was just a great player for the Yankees this previous year. So if Didi Gregorius does good, don't be surprised. Obviously came after a very good offensive team, and New York and the Philadelphia Phillies, I don't think they still have it to be a playoff contending team, maybe in a couple years with bringing Joe Girardi over Gabe Kapler. That was a big move with them being a very well good team. I mean, but most of their stuff for their on the field behavior came from the locker room. Obviously, they didn't have a good connection in the locker room with Gabe Kapler always getting ejected, with Bryce Harper too. But you can expect this Philly squad to have a big rebound this year and maybe even be a wild card contending team. That NL East should be a very, very good thing that you may want to watch. But then one more MLB thing I want to talk about is the Atlanta Braves. Atlanta looking very stacked again next year like they always do. But will they be able to click this year? I mean, I've seen predictions and statements. People see the Mets being better than the Braves. I mean, I'm a Mets fan, and I'm excited about that. But I think the Braves still are going to have, like, the NL East number. I mean, with a loaded lineup with hitting, with Freddie Freeman, Ronald Acuna, Ozzie Albies, and a bunch of other great players. And with their pitch, Alex Riley, the two-year rookie. Their pitching, though, with Max Fried. He's going to be their number one go-to man. So, I think the Braves are going to have a good playoff run, or a good season run. But when you get to the playoffs, obviously have a young pitching core with Max Fried. Is he really ready to be their main man? I think that Mike Folinski is going to have to be their main man, especially if they make it to the playoffs. Max Fried just doesn't have enough experience yet. Only a rookie. I mean, then the Braves losing Julio Teheran. Obviously, he didn't do as well as the Braves hoped, so they cut him, and Max Fried obviously having a great or had a great rookie year, but Pete Alonso won the NL rookie. NL rookie of the year. But I mean this Braves team is up in the air. I mean, their season can go well, but the playoffs are a whole different league. Anybody can win it then. So then I can expect the Braves to maybe be out in the first round they're in. May it be the wild card or may it be the divisional. Nobody knows. But in my opinion, this is going to... I think the Braves are just not the team that's ready enough to play. So then on to the NBA. Obviously, the Nets are looking for a head coach. Brooklyn's team. They lost D'Angelo Russell a couple years back. But look at... Now they have Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant. And if they look for a good head coach who can handle Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, the Nets are going to be an NBA Finals championship team. But all the NBA fans, do not look at how Kyrie Irving tends to not want to pass the ball. And look who he has. He has Kevin Durant. So will Kyrie Irving and Durant get along? I mean, this is going to be a big feud if Kyrie Irving does not decide to share the ball. So if that dynasty does end soon, I wouldn't be surprised, especially if Irving ruined it, because I'd rather have somebody like Kemba Walker, who shared the ball with Durant on that team and stuff, like Kyrie Irving, because, I mean, they'd get along better, and Kyrie Irving's not who you'd who do you want to be able to, like, Kyrie Irving's not the guy who you want to pass the ball. I mean, if I were the Nets, I'd put Kyrie Irving maybe at shooting guard and put somebody else at the point. Shooting guards shoot, point guards pass. I mean, Irving doesn't realize that. I mean, Irving's obviously a talented player, but I think the Nets are either going to be good or they're going to be bad. They're going to meet their they're going to be higher than their expectations or a lot lower than their expectations. People are going to disagree with me with what I just said, but I mean, it could be true. I mean, Irving does not like to share the ball. But if the Nets do actually find a good head coach who encourages Irving to share the ball, this team could be dangerous, very, very dangerous. But then we'll go on to the West Coast of things. The Golden State Warriors, obviously, the return of Steph Curry, and that was big for them. But getting back Klay Thompson, this is also going to be a very big move for the Warriors as well. I mean, I think the Warriors still have another title run left in them, one or two of them. I mean, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson will not go anywhere. And with having number one pick overall, that's going to be big. I mean, getting James Wiseman, the forward out of Memphis, that would be big. Obviously a talented player, but had to sit out because he broke some NCAA recruiting rules. But the Warriors do need forward help. I mean, Draymond Green, I wouldn't want him as your starting power forward. But with James Wiseman, like a guy like him, you could add to that backcourt. I mean, you can put, and you have Eric Paschal, that's good back there. I can expect Draymond and the Golden State Warriors to trade, like, maybe Draymond Green for a draft pick. I think it's time to move on from Mr. Draymond Green. I don't think he's at that level he should be anymore. And didn't get along well with his teammates, with Curry and Klay gone. I think it was maybe out of frustration. But when those two are gone, they expect Draymond Green to be the team leader that they want. But he did not exceed those expectations and was not very good with being a team leader. So this Warriors team could be in jeopardy with Green, or if I were them, I'd trade Draymond Green at the deadline to an already loaded team, so Green wins a championship at least, and then see where he goes from there. But then we go on to our next NBA team, Boston Celtics, who I have next year going to the Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, they were going to go there this year, but due to the NBA season being postponed, this is, like, all different now. And I think the Celtics are a lot better team without Kyrie Irving. Kemba Walker fits right in with that type of offense that Brad Stevens has brought there. And with that, if they have a great starting five, Kemba Walker, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Daniel Tice, I think he's a good franchise center, and then Gordon Hayward, who did have a bit of regression, but this previous season he was able to pick it up with Walker being there. And so you can like count on this Boston Celtics team to be and do really good this year, or exceed their expectations, as some would say. So then that's it for the NBA. Now on to our final topic, NHL. Obviously, with that season being postponed, I want to talk about the Boston Bruins because, in my opinion, they were the winners of the Stanley Cup with Brad Marchand. I mean, and with all their team leaders that they have on that team. As Chara, he's obviously a veteran player that you want to have on your team. But was this team really going to win the playoffs? I mean, or win the Stanley Cup? The Islanders probably have the number one best defense in the NHL. But I think the Bruins were going to, with the Bruins top line, I think they're going to be able to excel the Islanders defense. And I think they're going to be able to pull it off. But then that the NHL Eastern Conference is very loaded. I mean, Washington Capitals still have the number one. Washington Capitals are up there with the best offense in the league. I mean, the NHL East is very much loaded in all the ways that they, or all the players that they have. But then you have the Florida Panthers, who had a big jump from, or had a big jump so far from what they were last year. Obviously lost Luongo to retirement, but they did add in some key pieces, but this Panthers team, you would not want to sleep on them, especially with the rebuild that they're doing, the great job that they're doing there in the Panthers organization. And then one more hockey team, or final hockey team I wanted to talk about was the Toronto Maple Leafs. Maple Leafs, obviously, they have a very talented team. Auston Matthews, Alexander Nylander, obviously that team was going to be they're the most underrated team in the NHL. I'm just going to put it out right there. They are the most underrated team in the NHL. Sure, you don't get a lot of talk about them, like, down south, where, like, all the, like, you get a lot of talk about them here in Western New York, but this team does not get talked, this team does get talked around, you can see fans all around the world for this team, but not enough. I feel like this team is the most underrated team, and people do not see that. Hockey, I think, is the most underrated sport. I mean, people do not see the talent in the Maple Leafs. Obviously, they see Auston Matthews, who was the cover for NHL 20. But that team is probably one of the most underrated teams in hockey this year. So that's all for today's episode. Thanks for tuning in. Goodbye.